You are tuned to 90.7 WGXC, community supported, hands-on, definitely hands-on radio. It's Monday, it's 11 a.m., it's Zoom. My name is Tyson, and I'm very pleased to have a special guest sitting in the house with me today. Karen Schomer is here of the Schomer Formation, of her own wonderful heart. And she's a poet, a writer, a performer, all-around really groovy gal. I'd like to give her a big hug and thank you for coming.
Tyson, I'm really glad to be here. And in fact, I saw you on Warren Street recently and went up and basically invited myself back on your show. And so thank you for accommodating my wish to be here on one of my favorite shows on WGXC.
Oh, I'm blushing. So thanks for coming down. I work a lot, so I don't get to go to a lot of afternoon events that are GXC oriented or otherwise. And this Saturday I got to go over to the Art on My in Ghent and see you and Amy and Eric do your thing, and I haven't seen it yet, and you were kicking in.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, we had a performance that we decided to do as a free performance, but a fundraiser for WGXC's pledge drive.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a really special lineup for me. It was an old friend of mine from New York named Todd Colby, a poet, and then Jason Martin of Power Animal System, who happens to be an old friend of yours.
Jason, I haven't seen Jason in probably a good solid decade.
And everybody was just, I'm sorry, everyone was just there in the spirit of, you know, having a beautiful outside afternoon and trying to help the radio station.
It was a really cool time, and I, as I said, I don't usually get to go do those things. And it was a benefit for GXC.
We raised a little money, which was nice.
And it was a really good chance to see my colleagues, extended family.
It was nice to have you in the audience.
Under the sun. Thanks for inviting me. So it is Pledge Drive here at WGXC. We're a little short, I think, so far, but we're very optimistic. I think we're at 7-2 and change we're at, which is about halfway. As I said, we are being optimistic. We have premiums. If you call our operators, we can fill you in on everything that we have to give to, or you can just give out of the goodness of your heart and keep your tangible radio station on the air. This is our station. And there was some great talk at the event about our station being ours, everybody's.
I think that, like, you know, there's this temptation when a community has a radio station to be like, oh, great, let's be a radio station. And you think about what a radio station is, and maybe without even realizing it, you have these sort of preconceived notions that there's going to be a drive time morning show and that there will be sort of people loudly opinionating and there will be, you know, pop music at a certain time of day. And I think that WGXC is actually at its best when people try to reinvent what a radio station is and mm-hmm. try to make it what radio means to them. And I really am, without like going overboard with the log rolling, trying to give you credit, Tyson, for what you do, because I just feel like your show has evolved into being what it is in this totally sort of self-guiding way. And it's not about doing something that pre-existed that people can feel familiar with and come to expect. It's about creating something unique and personal and individual, and that's what GXC ultimately mm-hmm. really gives us.
Creative
that
community
opportunity.
Radio. Mm-hmm. And as long as I have the opportunity to do something like this, I'm going to extract the heck out of it. You know what I mean? Because it's a platform to just come in and create art and have the great people here thank you when you're done, and kind of get hugs sometimes before you leave or when you come in, and this is our station, and there's just so much stuff going on here 24/7. Even the college stations go off at night.
And I think when GXC first went on the air, like, I hadn't really done many readings of my own writing. You know, I was still sort of thinking of myself more as someone who was a journalist as a writer. And in the back of my mind, I thought, oh, maybe someday I can read my work on this radio station and they'll let me because they won't know any better that I don't really know what I'm doing or something.
Same here.
So I feel like, wow, in the 4.5 years that GXC has been on, like the community has really sort of evolved with it and
mutual appreciation society here, yeah. But you've completely evolved into what you do now too. So your show was the first thing I ever heard. It was a late night rebroadcast. And I had really clear reception because I live kind of far off, away from things. And
there's the phone.
I heard 697-7400. Could it be?
You can call and pledge.
Could it be? You can call and pledge. $1, $10, $100. Our goal for this show is $6,500. We would be okay with $100, but $6,500 is our goal.
We'd like to raise several thousand dollars in the next 45 minutes.
But I've watched you as well, and your show was the first thing I heard, which was... It's clear as a bell, and I get really crummy reception, and I thought it was a fluke. What the hell, you know?
Wow, I love that idea. Somebody told me that they came to the show at Omai, and they got out of their car, and they heard my voice, like, coming across the field. And I am susceptible to ego stuff, but mostly I was like, that is really cool that... you would hear somebody's voice that you know amplified that way. And
it's awesome. 697-7400. Get involved with us. Pledge. Get involved. Come and sweep the floors. Come and do a show. Get involved with our outreach committee.
Push yourself. Come up with something interesting that you secretly dream of doing but didn't know you ever could.
I just kept coming back. Like Alcoholics Anonymous, I would just come back and submit an application and not hear anything and come back and submit an application. And
oh, Tyson.
So, and just keep trying.
Persistence is 90% of artistic success.
Because as soon as I heard it, I knew I need to be there. I need to be there. So 697-7400, it's about 10 after 11. Karen and I are gonna kind of do we're going to zoom a little bit. We're going to do some drifty, droney, just get into it. And 697-7400, there it is again. Could it be? So I hope you enjoy.
Phones are lighting up.
And last thing I'd like to just say is, if you like the show or you don't like Zoom, it's just the importance is that there's a platform here to actually do something like this. And that in itself is invaluable.
Express yourself.
It really is. I wish I had the Madonna song. I'd like to sing it, but I don't think I remember the rhythm. But anyway, we're gonna kick it here. We're just gonna kind of mess around, and that's improvised radio here. Improvised radio without a net. So we're gonna jump off. So
here we go.
697-7400 WGXC.org if you wish to do it that way. But give us a call. Thank you.
My grandmother knitted this sweater. She died about 10 years ago. She was very proper and Catholic. She played bridge and paddle tennis and ate at the club. She wore kilts with pins, cashmere turtlenecks, Pendleton jackets. When I think of visiting my grandparents' house, I picture my grandfather, father, and brother watching sports on TV in the Cliff Room, while my grandmother raced around preparing food. She'd bring trays of cocktail shrimp with sauce and little smokies with colored toothpicks for them to eat while they lounged around and yelled at the television and each other. She never rested. She walked fast. One time she brought my brother and me to Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus in the city, and we could barely keep up with her, even as kids, even with her in heels. I didn't really like her. I thought she was superficial and obedient. It took me a long time to understand the complexities beneath her surface. After my grandfather died, she called me and said, "My children want me to go into assisted living, and I don't want to go." "Then don't," I said. She died at home in her bed. In her final hours, for some reason, I arrived before her own children. I lay next to her while she was in the twilight. She shivered and spoke in hushed, incoherent syllables. I felt the nearness of the gate. After she died, we were allowed to take whatever we wanted from her closet. And I chose this sweater. It's rose pink with yarn covering the buttons. It's a complicated pattern with cables and cuffs. She was an expert in the domestic arts. She tried to teach me, but I didn't like creating inert things like dolls and pillow cushions. A sweater, once you knit it, doesn't change. It doesn't become something else. It can't be seen in a different light, except for this one. My mother told me I was always happy. When I was a baby, she could put me in the playpen in the backyard, and I'd amuse myself for hours. I'd point to the sky and say, "Birdie, you were a wonderful child," she often said. This story appealed to me so much that I never questioned it. She seemed so sincere and loving when she told it. I wanted to believe her. It was as if she showed me a Super 8 film of myself. As if her story was the truth. That was who I was. A happy child in a playpen with a blue sky and grass and trees and birds. That was life. I grew up believing anything people told me. The more a story was bathed in a halo glow, the more I wanted to believe it. I felt that believing other people's myths was a gift that I could give them. I could perpetuate their story, and that would be a way of joining them in something they believed. It became a justification. It became a kind of calling. I stopped trying to invent my own truth and accepted the truth of others. It was easier and nicer. My mother was always kind, smiling at the children who came to play at our house, smiling at me. She was friendly with the mothers in the neighborhood. Like when Mrs. King came over, they would stand in the kitchen with their cigarettes curling delicate smoke, abstract design headbands in their brunette poofs of hair that matched the fabric of their dresses, or silk scarves in tiny knots at their throats. They agreed with each other. One of them would say something, and the other would second it. They were in the know. If I came into the kitchen and tried to listen, they would say, "Mind your own business." My mother made Toll House cookies and fresh bread. She drank tab out of a plastic glass with strawberries on it. When I was sick, she made me toast and hot tea with milk. She always wanted me to be happy. She couldn't bear disruptions or disputes. My mother couldn't bear unhappiness in the house around her. She couldn't bear unhappiness in herself. If I had a fever, she'd sit on the edge of the bed and stroke my head and say, "Feel better," in a concerned voice before she left the room. At night, before she and my father went out, she'd lean in front of the vanity mirror in the master bathroom, applying lipstick. She pulled a brown, bristled, tortoiseshell hairbrush through her thick, black hair. The tips flipped upward. The kindness in her eyes became neutral, even critical. I leaned my elbows on the vanity, watching her. I loved her hair. Sometimes she'd let me run my small hands through it, and I could feel the dampness at the nape of her neck. She lifted the top to a multi-tiered box, stirred the contents with a finger, removed a thick gold barrette, clenched it in her teeth as she drew strands of hair into a ponytail. She watched herself. She knew what she wanted to see. It was a strange kind of visibility and invisibility for me. I could see her, but not myself. She would watch herself, but not me. Who she was and who I was seemed to blur. I wanted to be like her. Gliding on the track of her actions, following their twists and turns. I developed the awareness of observed reality. It was as if the world was there without me. She went to the closet she shared with my father and pulled open the folding louvered doors. Rows of low-heeled Etienne Anger shoes in different muted leather colors on a rack. Skirts with vibrant, abstract patterns. Ribbed turtlenecks. The women's clothes on one side. Purples and florals. Yellows and corduroys. Pinks and plaids. Men's suits hanging neatly on the other. A staid block of charcoal and pinstripe gray. A woman gave a reading at an art center. She stood at the front of a hot room full of folding chairs, holding sheets of white paper. As she read the words, her eyes darted from the page to the upper left corner of the room, as if the story were an incantation to a spirit who lingered there, invisible to the rest of us. The story was about her mother. It was called Toby Dead. The author visited the mother in a hospital. At the time of her mother's illness, the daughter lived across the country in New York City, where she held an important job with a design firm. She was under a great deal of pressure at work, but she stopped everything and flew back to the Midwestern town where she had grown up and where the mother still lived. When she walked into the hospital room, the mother turned her head away and would not speak to her. A favored sister who had never left home, who had spent her life validating the mother's values and principles, looked helplessly at her, apologetic yet clearly relieved not to be the target herself. The two sisters stayed at the mother's bedside for 2 days, and the mother passed away without ever speaking to the author, even acknowledging her. After the reading, I approached the woman. I told her I liked her story. Her face animated, became a grin that was almost evil, a joker smile. "Thank you," she said. "I'm sorry your mother treated you that way," I said. "It's terrible. You must have been very hurt." "Oh, it's okay," she said. "I don't consider myself a victim. Heroes and victims are equally boring." I didn't know how to respond to that. I thought heroes were heroic and victims deserved sympathy. I tried to picture her as someone's daughter, but I thought of my own mother instead. I tried to picture her as a child, but I thought of my own child. Mother, daughter, child, mother, daughter, mother became mixed up in my mind. "My mother approved of everything I did," I told her. "Ha," she said. Her eyes turned into slivered moons. "That's even worse." I had a fight with my daughter. It was so silly. It seemed so unimportant. We were in the car, outside an art class. "Don't come in with me," she said. "I have to come in with you," I said. "It's the rules." "No, it's not the rules. You always say that. You pretend it's the rules when it's really just you doing what you want." I didn't understand why she was upset. I didn't understand why this simple thing was a problem. Somehow looking at her, at that moment, I pictured her younger than she really was. Golden brown curls, thin and delicate, their childlike fineness miraculous to my adult touch. Suntanned arms in a purple t-shirt. A nose that curved up, parentheses, cheeks, eyes of wonder. The willowy proportions of a 7-year-old, the tameable tantrums. Every problem was fixable, every hurt minor and fleeting. Parents of children that age are full of hope. We stick around in that time like it's special. We play it like a favorite movie. We read it to ourselves as they grow older, like a bedtime story. In fact, that day, she was older. Her proportions had broadened and sloped into adolescence. The sudden heaviness and extension of limbs, the newly porous skin. She wore a ripped t-shirt over a blue tank top, department store shorts with seams split to the hips. Her face had a hard set to it. It summoned a form of ugliness young children can't imagine. Wore it without apology. Outrage, hatred, her eyes were lethal. Manson lamps, they called them on The Sopranos. But those were hardened gangsters on a TV show, and this was my daughter. Okay, I said. Let's not make a big deal out of this. You just go in on your own, and I'll wait out here for about 10 minutes. And if they need me, come out and get me. I'll just wait in case. I didn't want her to be unhappy. Even over something that small. I didn't want her to be upset. I remembered her eyes when she was born, the moment they put her in my arms. Still sticky. There was a whole infant body there, but her eyes were all I noticed. They were flat and blue and eerily knowing. They took in the hospital room with its equipment and piss yellow light. The bustling nurses. The atmosphere that was brand new and different. there was air around her for the first time. All her senses were alive, but the eyes clued me in to the intensity of her arrival. She never looked at me. I looked at her, but she looked around herself. I was aware of having something new, and she was aware of being free. A mother's experience of having is always more pleasurable than a child's experience of being had. Is any form of devotion ever equitable? Her adolescent eyes were small and cold and furious. The chin trembled. The mouth wavered with tension. Then she left the car with a wordless slam. Her anger hung there, a vibration. I couldn't feel anything. I couldn't feel anything. I had to control myself. I sat in the car, breathing, and slowly I became conscious of the idle of the engine, its little huffing spurts, its calm, regular rhythm, the sound of something that works. Through the frame of the passenger window, where her head had been, I saw a piece of the river out past the corner of the buildings of the city. The river was a silver wedge, a strange, shiny, distant thing in contrast with the sidewalk and the buildings around it. At it for what felt like a long time. It glimmered, moving with a life of its own. Its liquidity seemed malleable. It was a soft, open eye. It would give under pressure, as I always did. At a certain point in my life, I developed a need to know exactly what would happen to me. Does everyone have this? If I brought home a good report card, my mother would be happy. My mother was impossibly beautiful. When she smiled, The corners of her mouth disappeared into the curve of her cheek, like Betty and Veronica. Tiny silver strands threaded her black hair. She always carried a lipstick in her purse, a foundation compact, a comb. When we went to the store or the bank, she took a few moments looking into the mirror before she got out of the car. She tossed the comb or compact back into her bag with a saucy, triumphant flick of her hand. There was a period in my life when I wasn't so timid. I think it was in my late 20s. I'm pretty sure I had adventures. I drove cross country with my boyfriend. I trusted him behind the wheel, even when he was high. Especially when he was high. He was an enormously competent, impaired driver. I slugged tequila from a thermometer-shaped bottle in the passenger seat. Purple desert horizons, blurs of neon out the window. In the badlands of South Dakota, he pulled off the road and lit a joint. I picked up a grasshopper in the dirt. There were thousands of them. It stayed on my hand. I held it up in my flower sprig dress, smiling at the camera in cat's eye sunglasses and a jeans jacket. Then something happened to scare me, and I can't figure out what. Something changed. I can't put my finger on it. Maybe it's such a bad memory I've blocked it out.
So you are tuned to 90.7 WGXC. We are in the midst of our radioactive pledge drive. Be radioactive. Keep your radio alive and well 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We would have been talking at you in the midst of it, but I had a special guest to kind of exemplify the potential of WGXC and the minds coming together and creating, can I call it art on the radio? I'm not really sure, but creating something live and unique that is just very special. It's me all tingly thinking about the potentials of WGXC. Thank you for coming, Karen.
Thank you, Tyson. I wish you could be on in my head all the time.
I think you'd get really tired of that.
Hell awaits, Tyson. I saw you pick up this album and it was like, hell awaits.
But it wasn't Hell Awaits. It was taking Hell Awaits and changing it. And I really liked the tab and the strawberry glasses.
Yeah.
The cigarettes with the abstract shapes. Thanks for coming down again. And
thanks for having
in the midst of our pleasure.
Thanks for listening today.
We have some thank yous here and some other information. Thank you to Cece Katchik for her very generous donation to WGXC, keeping us radioactive, and also a big thank you to Matt in Catskill. A big thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Matt and Cece.
Matt is a generous soul, and he...
Is it who I think it is?
I think it is, and he said he particularly likes us together. He likes the Karen Tyson combo.
I think it works pretty good.
He likes our little TV dinner that we thaw out and, like, present to everyone.
It's in a aluminum tray, though, it's not a plastic tray.
It's an aluminum tray.
And we have
foil tray.
A matching donation from an anonymous donor, a generous anonymous donor, going into effect at noon today during the Monday Musical Matinee. That's 8 minutes. All donations will be matched up to $1,000. Again, we have a matching donation from an anonymous donor going into effect at noon today, starting with the Monday Musical Matinee, high noon right after Phil reads the news. All donations will be matched up to $1,000, getting us closer to our goal. I think WGXC is kind of tangible. As far as radio goes, I can, when I get ready to do Sundays, I start to assemble my things, and I get this little tickly buzz that goes up my back, and I can almost feel like what it's going to be, like feel it. Being able to do this is such an honor and a privilege, and nowhere else will you have a place that would let folks come in and just express themselves like WGXC allows.
It's nice.
That's cool.
It's really cool. 518-697-7400 is our phone number, and we're trying to bring it home, everyone. Mm-hmm. We're trying to get to 15,000.
We're limping along.
We're gonna come on strong here in, like, mm-hmm. in the final days of our pledge drive, and we're gonna bring it around to the 15 grand we need to keep going.
We can do it. So 697-7400, we have a...
Give us a jingle.
Give us a jingle. 697-7400, we have a buttload. I don't know how many that would be, but there's a lot of premiums here. I'm seeing a lot of stuff, and you put my reading glasses on. We have a lot of music that I believe Spike Priggen has generously donated. Spike Priggen does the Wednesday
dazzled.
Afternoon Bedazzled. I miss the theme song. He doesn't play it anymore.
Oh, really?
No. No. But big shout out to Spike Priggen for his show. He's one of our stalwarts here. Chris Bishop, I got to chat with Chris Bishop at the event Saturday a little bit.
We had a lot of great programmer support on Saturday.
Final Rundown.
Chris Bishop, PA System.
PA
Peter
System,
Aaron
I saw
Peter
Aaron
up.
Lurking around in the shadows. He was there.
Chris Bishop especially gave us an enormous hand in setup and takedown with the equipment. So we really want to thank Chris for putting in a little lifting time on Saturday.
Vinyl Rundown, Wednesdays at 11 a.m. 697-7400. Not to be redundant, but we do have programming 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There's going to be stuff you don't like, hopefully not too much, but there's going to be things that challenge you. There's going to be things that might repulse you, things that delight you. There's always something. We're freeform, kind of. You think it's...
Almost freeform. And you know, if you liked everything all the time, you'd be like the mother in my story who just wants everyone happy all the time. And then it's like, you know, what's that movie where they eat the stuff? So then it's like Soylent Green.
Oh, Soylent Green is people. Yep.
I don't know what it is. Then it's Prozac Nation if we all like everything just, all the time.
It's not good.
We have to have our opinions and have differences of opinion to make us stronger.
We allow you to think. Our public affairs programming gives you space to think. We don't tell you, I've said this before, but we don't really tell you what to think, how to think, and when to think. We kind of allow you. The programming lets you make up your own mind about things. The other side of the coin, sometimes it's a little disturbing to hear what's going on from an honest point of view, but 697-7400. I've been Tyson, and this has been Karen with me.
Thanks.
And thanks for coming down again.
And thanks to Tyson. I love being here.
Are you doing a show anymore? Are you?
We kind of started, but then we kind of didn't.
Okay.
So I'm not really doing a show right now.
Did I hear something on a Monday night?
We were doing. We filled in for Hank.
Okay, I picked it up.
My good friend Steve and I did some Monday night Lunar Moss filling in.
I pick it up around 11:30-ish when I geographically where I am. So I thought I might have heard some music that didn't sound like Hank or any of those guys on Monday.
Yeah.
And it,
yeah.
Was refreshing.
It was fun.
It was
really fun. Hopefully we'll be doing some fill-ins or we'll be back.
Do you remember the time that I recognized you by your voice?
I do. I do. You came into the Spotty Dog and you ordered a beer and I served you a beer and then you were like, "Are you Karen?" You were setting up your show at Swallow.
Oh yeah. It was kind of fun.
Your art show. You need another art show in town, Tyson.
I'd like to do that.
I'd like to figure out that. I'd like to have you do that.
I think next pledge drive, I'm going to put some art up for pledges, you know? So, is it noon yet? We got 3 minutes, so, but that's the cool thing about GXC is if you're lurking around town, especially on a weekend when folks are out, you hear conversations and you might hear people and be like, do I know that voice?
I know that voice.
I've asked before and been wrong, which is kind of strange, but I've also been right, too. Magic Stranger, I heard him at the Spotty Dog again.
Oh, wow.
You know,
he's been traveling the world. He's been sort of MIA lately, I think.
I imagine he was down in following the Burroughs Trail, seeking the Yahe down in Brazil somewhere.
Really?
The magic, so he'd come back and recalibrate the program, and you know, it's magic. It's the magic. 697-7400 WGXC Radio Active. Be radioactive. Keep your radio alive. Locked into our little tiny. 90.7 is our little place in this whole morass of commercials, and there's nothing like it on the whole dial. It's our little niche. 697-7400. Be radioactive.
And if you're thinking of pledging, if you hold out for like another minute, you could call after 12 and be part of a matching grant in the 12 o'clock hour of $1,000.
Matching donation.
Just think, if we raise $1,000 and have that matching grant, we'll be like almost to $10,000.
Every dollar is worth two.
We're going to bring it home.
Bring it home. Yeah, 697-7400. If you love us, if you like us, if you don't like us but you can't pull yourself away from listening to us, give us a couple dollars. 697-7400.
Love to hate us or hate to love us.
Yeah, there's a whole...
I hate to love those people, but I do.
I can't help it.